Sunny skies isn't what it used to be. I got a story of a little bit of a run-in with the TSA. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. But before we dig into my world, I want to talk about, once again, the shattering of what should be a center of learning, a college campus, the University of Oakland. Have you ever heard of it? It's a small, small campus, right? But certainly there were enough people who were around. Sadly, it's a Christian school. And sadly, at least 7 people were killed. 3 others were wounded. You know exactly where the story's going, right? Some nut, some disgruntled idiot, sorry, I got to throw out the label, goes in and opens fire at this school. And actually, it wasn't University of Oakland. It's the Oikos University, that the Christian school in Oakland, California. And the first thing I thought was Oakland University. You know, I'm getting these texts when I'm half asleep. Wait, Oakland, what are you talking about? So anyway, what happened was he went into the school at about 10:30 Pacific time, and boom, he just started popping off shots. So SWAT team immediately called in. We've seen this scene before. They try to secure the campus, if you will. They're looking for the victims. They're trying to get the people that have been hit to safety, and it's a nightmare. Listen to this one description by a kid who was there, Brian Snow.
We saw another set of dead bodies come out. I'm not sure how many there were. I think there were two more bodies. We saw a lot of people just run outside, just heard more gunshots. A lady came out running, and she had blood on her arm, but I didn't know how bad the wound was. But then she was just trying to make sure everybody was safe, and then she took off her jacket, and she had a big old hole in her arm.
All right, boy, that's pretty graphic description. A big old hole in her arm. So here's the thing. The good news, because I think there was good news in this, although it's a sick, twisted story, and it was sad to see the victims just laid out with sheets on top of them out in the field near the school. The thing is, this guy did not kill himself. Un Guo, who's an American of Korean origin, apparently, decided that he was going to hightail it after he did the shooting to the mall nearby in Alameda. That's about 5 miles from the school. So he was acting kind of strange. A security guard at the shopping center approached him, and he just blurted out what he had done and what happened, just a few sketchy details. Immediately, they take him into custody. Nothing happened there. They transfer him into the Oakland Police Department, and that was it. No fighting, no anything, no screaming, no hysteria. Now it's the question, the why question. Why? Why did he do this? What was it? He was disgruntled. He supposedly might have been a former worker. There's all kinds of theories that are floating out there as to why this happened. But here we go again. I just said this on a previous show. There are just some places where you should be able to be and not worry about somebody going after you, like a church, like your workplace, a university, schools. And this is what we keep seeing over and over again. And it bubbles up the argument that I'm going to continue to defend about guns. Immediately, my mailbox, as I was flying, because now you can actually use the internet, as I was flying, I checked the mail, and immediately I was flooded with cries to take the guns away. We see how well that's worked in the UK. Not very. And trust me, if the bad guys want to get guns, they'll get guns if we were to completely eliminate guns, which is an impossibility anyway. And speaking of guns, Mexico takes a big slap at the U.S., on gun violence, once again, they yip at our heels, yet the drug cartels are insanely allowed to roam and do what they please. All of that drug-fueled violence mixed in with what they're calling guns. Now you've got Felipe Calderon, who is saying, listen, a lot of this is because of the United States. A lot of this is because of your guns, because of what you've done, what we've done. Are you kidding me? I mean, what is Calderon thinking? He wants our money. He wants our help. And constantly the guy is kicking us. So he makes these crackdowns on these warring drug cartels, right? That's what he said was his big thing in his six-year term, which, by the way, expires later this year. And it's only gotten worse. So now he's looking for a scapegoat, and the scapegoat is the United States. There was a one-day summit. So our president has decided to trim some of the rules in the talks that we have with Mexico. And Canada, by the way, is also involved in this. So immediately Calderon looks to the United States and says, you know, a lot of this problem is because of the U.S. It's because of what's going on in the U.S., because of the guns, because of the flow of guns, especially assault weapons, he says, from the U.S. to Mexico, that it sabotages the work of his government in fighting the drug gangs, and the U.S. government has not done enough to stop it. What do you think? Mexico's problems, is it our fault? We're going to talk about that in this Hour of America tonight. Plus, Obama wasn't going to be held hostage by any Supreme Court justices. It was only a matter of time before he would strike out, and he's decided to do that. Obama, it's unusual, takes a big fat swipe at the people wearing the robes on the court, warning that a rejection of his health care law would be what he calls an act of judicial activism, in his own words.
Ultimately, I'm confident that the Supreme Court will not take what would be an unprecedented, extraordinary step of overturning a law that was passed by a strong majority. I'm confident that this will be upheld because it should be upheld. I think the justices should understand that in the absence of an individual mandate, you cannot have a mechanism to ensure that people with pre-existing conditions can actually get health care.
All right, this is ahead, of course, the story of what's going to ultimately happen. We know, we've been talking about this a lot on America Tonight. In fact, I just got back from the East Coast where we were stopped by the TSA, one for having a bag. You know, they have the little rack that they've got to measure your bag. We had a tennis bag, for goodness sake, and it hung a little tiny bit over the edge of the puny braille thing where you had to stick your bag in it. So immediately, oh, you have to go downstairs and pay more for the bag. What, are you kidding me? You want to see me roll up this bag? I will roll up this bag. So I did. And then ultimately it was, okay, now take out the keys, take out your money, put up your hands. I'm like, what is this, a stick-up? No, we got to put you in the puffer machine. Oh, no, 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 I'm not going to the puffer machine. Want to hear the rest of that story? Stick around.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, the federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it'll protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289. Solar lanterns, just $24.95. Solar waterproof flashlights, only $12.95. Cook anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpole lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely
all right, ain't that a kick in the head? I guess it was a matter of time, and ultimately the tick, tick, tick time was up in Philadelphia at the International Airport. Now, to be fair, they've had a couple of things happen there recently. One, some dummy went in with a loaded gun. Duh. I have a loaded gun. And he forgot. And actually, they just said, oh, that's no worries. Don't worry about it. And they let him go. Then there was the guy before him, the week before, while I was in Philadelphia, who had explosives in his bag and said that this is what he does for a living. And it was just an honest mistake. He was taking his work with him. That's all it was. That's it. That's what he was doing, and he's in serious trouble. So the guy with the loaded gun, he walks no problem. The guy with the explosives, he's in serious, serious trouble because he's gonna end up doing some time for that. Nobody's buying what he's selling. That he was just working on stuff because he plays around with explosives. That's what he does for a living. In my case, I wasn't in any of those categories. I didn't have a loaded weapon. I didn't have explosives in my bag. I had an odd-shaped tennis bag. So that started things. That kicked things off. But then, you know, once I folded the bag over, we folded the bag over, I was with my husband, then they let us through. Okay, so it was a little bit of a fuss, but that was it. Then the whole thing about, okay, stick them up, put them up in the air, step on the thing, put your hands up. It's like, what? I have no jewels on me, trust me. I've got nothing that would set this thing off. And I think that they were kind of just being rough with people. It seemed like they were being rough with people probably because of the things that just happened at Philly. And in the couple of weeks before that, they had some fool that decided he was going to drive on the runway. So they had a guy driving on the runway and a truck trying to hit a plane. They had the explosives guy and then who was just playing with his explosives. And then the guy with the loaded gun. So maybe that was like high, high alert. And everybody was on edge for not letting anything happen. So that means, you know what that means? That means that they want to do everything to make it a miserable experience when you step up and you have to pull all the stuff out and whatnot. And I didn't want to do the puffer machine is what I call it. And so I didn't want to do the pat down, but I didn't want to end up like Rand Paul either, except for that he stood his ground and said, hey, I'm, you know, what's up with that? I'm not going to do that. Just send me back through the line. And so they actually did send me through back through the line, and it turned out not to be, I mean, it turned out to be that we kind of felt each other out in a sense, and they made nice. So I didn't have an incident because I wasn't looking for a fight. See, this is the thing. You don't go through there. You know, if you go through with a real big fat chip on your shoulder and you're looking for a fight, that's different. If the scenario plays out and ultimately they make you, I think they make you do something you shouldn't have to do, well, then that's one thing. But in my case, it worked out okay because they even let me go back to where I was. So there wasn't the, well, there's 10,000 people, so now go back to the end of the line. So there's the good news. And it worked out fine. But I can see how things get a little crazy. I can see how tempers flare and how people get set off when they're going through, as many of you know, because you've been subjected to that. And it just depends on where you are. In my case, I think because of the things that had just happened, there was a higher sensitivity going on. There was a little buzz in the air of back off, Jack. You could feel it. And there was, you know, dogs walking around. There was cops with dogs that I've never seen before. Tons of them, like we were in New York City, because you see that a lot in the subways in New York. And I have never, ever seen that at the Philadelphia airport. So probably it was that heightened alert. There was no signs that said that there was anything like that. Nothing about the color. Remember the old color scheme, which supposedly I don't have anymore. But you could see that there were people that were being very, very aggressive as to what they were doing with people that were coming through the line. So there's my story. I'm sticking to it. Matt, they were trying to give me the shakedown, but I didn't get it. So I wouldn't list the people at American, because that's where I was going through, although this was TSA, as the meanest. But this survey comes out, America's Meanest Airlines, 2012. And it shows that things have improved over the past year, despite the captain on JetBlue who's smashing into the cockpit, trying to get in. The people hold him down, as you know, how that unfolded. Sadly, he lost it, is what happened there. Or the flight attendant that lost it and said the plane, you know, she couldn't help the plane if it was going to blow up, and she couldn't protect the people. So they do this survey. The U.S. News does this survey, or actually reports on the survey. And a professor of marketing at Wichita State University has been doing it now for 20-plus years. And the head of the Department of Aviation Technology at Purdue University is also involved in doing this, okay? So you need a little bit of background on it. And the AQR report ranks the performance and basically whatever you call quality of 15 major airlines, right? And they do four factors in this, because you have to know that. On-time arrivals, involuntary denied boardings when they won't, you know, getting bumped, mishandled baggage, and customer satisfaction. And you would think size would matter in the case of the airlines. You know, the bigger the batter, the hubs, all that, that they would have it down smoother. But I don't know, maybe not. They say it's a real eye-opener as to what's happened. Because if you look at the national carriers, they say that Delta Airlines, for example, they had a ton of mishandled bags. And a lot of that involuntary denied boarding, so bumped. They bumped a ton of people. That's such an awkward word. To say bumped the people, right? And so the Delta folks weren't happy with what they saw. Southwest Airlines had the lowest rate of customer complaints. How about that? Because of their whole let's have fun thing. It's a cattle call when you go on Southwest Airlines, for goodness sake. They don't hassle you, but you don't get anything with them. U.S. Air, I think they're terrible. But supposedly their on-time arrivals fell from 83% to 79%. Mishandled bags per 1,000 passengers increased And they got more customer complaints in 2011 than they did in 2010. And they had a ton of cancellations and delays and all that other sort of stuff. American Airlines supposedly made a little bit of progress. Mishandled bags was down, was reduced. I guess that's a good thing. Continental had some negatives, but they came out okay. They improved a little bit. The numbers were better in their denied boardings. United Airlines had the highest rate of customer complaints in 2011. They beat out everybody else. 2.21 complaints per 100,000 passengers. Ever fly United? They used to be the friendly skies. Oh, you know that commercial, that jingle they had on United? I would have to agree. I won't fly United. I flew one time and we were so squished, I thought we were going to have to lay down on the floor, frankly. They were going to just line us up because the seats were so, it was like they had jammed extra seats in there or something. It was very, very strange. And maybe that's because of their merger with Continental. I don't know. Because when you try to combine the two airlines, you got problems there usually. And so lost bags, on-time arrivals were down. It was nasty stuff. They didn't score too well. Here's the thing. Wouldn't it be easier to just be part of that 1% and jump on your own NetJet? Do the 1%ers realize what it's like? By the time you go to the airport, you take off whatever is going to set things off and what's going to happen in your encounter with going with the TSA and going through. Then you get on the flight, and who knows what happens on the flight now, right? Then if you arrive on time, do you get your bags? Between the time you have to get there, the anxiety that you just naturally start to feel. And I'm not an anxious person, but it's a natural feeling now, I think, when you fly, to automatically have a little bit of an edge. That's a little bit of an edge. That's why I could notice in Philly that there was the extra added edge. And I think it was because of the things that had happened there. And we didn't used to fly that way. We didn't used to fly that way. Thanks to 9/11. Goes all the way back to that. And Richard Reed, the shoe bomber. And the fools in London that tried to bring on liquid explosives. And we had to get rid of all our liquids. All of this come about. Still, we're reaping the effects, sad effects of that. Hang with us, Sides and Ends, on the flip side.
If you are a sales professional and you love to help people and make money, stop everything and listen to me now. InspectorAudit.com is hiring brokers nationwide. InspectorAudit.com is the primary source for exposing all loan-related bank and servicing fraud. If you're passionate, driven to succeed, and you want to earn real money, then we want you. Call InspectorAudit.com right now at 855-552-9932. InspectorAudit.com, 855-552-9932. Commissions paid daily.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet debt when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at zero debt in 90 days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Diesel owners, have you had enough of hard starts, poor mileage, and poor performance? The cause is stiction, a gummy residue that clings to injectors like cholesterol clings to arteries. Stiction robs your diesel engine of power, performance, and gas mileage. The answer, Hot Shot Secret.
This is Lee from Minnesota. I have a F-350 with a 6.0 diesel, and I had many injector problems and hard starting problems. After I added Hot Shot Secret, it now starts better, feels stronger, and my mileage went up 2 miles per gallon. I recommend Hot Shot Secret to anyone with a diesel engine.
Hot Shot Secret, the only oil additive engineered to remove stiction in all diesel engines. Clean from the inside out with Hot Shot Secret. Available nationwide at all Tractor Supply stores or call 800-341-6516. That's 800-341-6516. Or go to HotShotSecret.com. Hot Shot Secret, powered by science.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Alright, so we start the show off telling you about that sad shooting in California at the Christian University. 7 people dead, 3 people injured. Just shattering a beautiful early morning. People coming in with donuts, hanging out, being happy. And next thing you know, it's anything but happy. The good news is the cops were able to encounter, because he gave himself up basically at a mall 5 minutes from where the school was. Own girl, you know, just spit out what he had done. And apparently he is an ex-student who was, you know, was disgruntled, might have been disgruntled. You know, automatically they throw that out there. So what does disgruntled student mean? But he's an ex-student that was certainly ID'd in this campus rampage. And as I said before, it's the one thing it's tough to wrap your head around. We even had the ATN head shrinker on a couple of weeks ago to talk about this. And why, you know, what are we seeing that people are filled with all this rage? And can you see this in people you know? And is there a way to put the brakes on it? Which seems so ridiculous because, you know, it's like Judith Barr said, you have to go back into the history of somebody, which usually is traced all the way back to childhood. So what was it that set this guy off? He surrenders an hour after the shooting, and they're trying to put the pieces together. The good news is they have him, and that he didn't kill himself. He didn't jump off some bridge, shoot himself in the head, whatever. There was a little bit of a chaotic manhunt, but he was picked up, so that's... that's huge as far as I'm concerned. Maybe they'll find out from the guy himself what happened here. I guess he banged on the door a bunch of times and started shooting outside and then ultimately left when some people were hovered in a they were Hubbard in a closet. Very, very strange, unfortunately, strange thing that's happened here. Because you, what was strange about it to me is the fact that you had all these bodies that were just covered in sheets laid out on a patch of grass at the school. And even one body was just lifted into a van. Just lifted into a van. And this was a Korean, very close-knit Korean community. And the guy who was arrested was a guy in his 40s. So they're going to just, I'm sure, try to figure out this situation is what they call fluid. What is the motive? What could the possible motive be that made him do this, that made him go in there and tear up that school the way he did? And to me, the first thing I always think of is that this is going to turn into a whole gun thing, especially in California. All right, the other thing that we talked about at the top, and you can throw in your 2 cents. Excuse me for not throwing out the digits. 800-259-5791. But the president warning the people who wear the robes at our highest court, at the Supreme Court, the nine, against actually saying no to the health care law that he's embracing now as Obamacare. But, you know, the threats will have to continue for months because there's not going to be any kind of a ruling until the end of June. I would be stunned if all of a sudden one day, oh, by the way, the Supreme Court hands down its ruling. You know how this will happen. Sometimes they'll turn around pretty quickly. I doubt it. I mean, this is one of those that they're going to leave town and leave everybody hanging. Boom. Make the ruling and get out of Dodge. That's what's going to happen. So the president hasn't said anything until the last couple of weeks about health care and the challenge and all that stuff. But now this is his baby. This is what he's pushing big time. He's pushing the Supreme Court that he feels confident that they won't take an unprecedented step of overturning the law that was passed by what he's calling the democratically elected Congress. Here's the bottom line. You know, you go back to the whole thing with the individual mandate, what it's going to cost, what kind of health care we're getting. And I'll say it till I'm blue in the face, and we can argue about this, but it comes down to one thing. It comes down to policies, insurance companies, and what kind of policy you have, what you can afford. What, you know, health care is really about what you can afford. And it's so lopsided in this country, and everyone, I think, agrees on that. I don't care what your stripes are, if you're a conservative or liberal or whatever you want to call yourself. I think everybody agrees the system is hijacked, and it's been that way for a while. That's the biggest problem. Sam is listening, and by the way, I think it's going to be 5-4. I think that's why they're throwing out all this stuff. I don't think it's going to, I think they are going to strike it down. Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Hey, Sam.
How you doing, gorgeous?
Good. How are you doing?
Smashing.
Nice. You came up with a word. This is like Words with Friends when you come on. This is a new game. When I ask you how you are, you got to come up with a new word every time, okay?
One day I could say, you know, hey, you know, life really, you know, stinks, but I won't.
That's not optimistic. You're not a pessimist. Now, come on.
No, this is quite true, lady. This is quite true.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on with your Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, hanging out in Mexico or hanging out with Felipe Calderon and President Obama, supposedly to come up with, I don't know, at this joint press conference to try to come up with some kind of sense of what's happening with the drug cartels?
He's got his own problems to worry about. What the Canadian press has dubbed that they call it the Three Amigos Summit.
I know they need to be more original, though. It's the same. It is. It's the same thing again. They were in Washington actually, so because they did a news conference, the Rose Garden.
Yeah. We saw that. But the French Canadian press didn't. You know, the press here in Quebec didn't cover that.
All right, here's what I wanted to know. You've got the Canadian in the house, in your garden. Why didn't they talk about the Keystone Pipeline? Boy, they avoided that.
because it wasn't going through Mexico.
That's like, keep them out of it. Don't even involve them. Yeah, because remember, Harper went to China. People listening, Harper went to across the country. Harper went to China in February to look at alternatives because Canada, as Sam knows, has the world's third largest oil reserves.
And we also got a lot of gas, most of it in the House of Commons.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so. But, no, the reason why a lot of French-Canadian press isn't covering, because for the past, like, 6 weeks, students here in Quebec have been on strike. College and university students, a lot of them. Because
so the focus is on that. Why are they on strike?
Because they're going to raise tuition fees $350 every year for the next 5 years. Yeah, but still, compared to let's say a state school,
yeah,
it's still cheap. It's still cheap, and Quebec is one of the, in terms of universities, is one of the, even with the raise, would still be a cheaper place to go to than let's say, University of Toronto or your buddy, the University of Saskatchewan, and stuff like that. And I mean, at the beginning, I was with them. Then it was tolerable. Now it's like, give it up. The provincial government isn't going to do anything. Get back to class. I mean, a couple of times, near where Julie works is one of the colleges, and she almost had a run-in with a couple of them. Like, hey, we're on strike. Hey, you're lucky that you're in school. You know? So I said, you know what?
Harper should have everyone be that easy on his government.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Sam. Well, you know that old expression about squeezing blood from a turnip.
Right.
Where are these kids going to get all this money? Think about it. 350 times. I guess, you know, if you said 350 and they just raised it and that's all they said. Yeah. But then you know down the road, and I know why they're telling them that, to let them get their ducks in a row. But that's a lot of money to come up with.
Yeah, and well, what some other students have done is that they stayed 48-hour hunger strikes in front of the provincial one, in front of the Minister of Education's office, just to prove that a lot of students are going to food banks to get food. That's how bad it is for some of them. But like I said, it was tolerable. Now it's becoming a royal pain in the backside because they're demonstrating on some main thoroughfares in Montreal, some bridges that are going into Montreal, and some people are saying, okay, fine, we're with them, but hey, so let us pass so we can get to work, you know, so.
Yeah, let us get to work because we already paid the price for our education.
Right.
Sorry, you're in this game much too late. Hey, Sam, thanks for the call.
Take care, gorgeous.
You know, it's funny that Sam brings that up. That's interesting, talking about the increase, the surge for the students there. Boy, tuition for a four-year university in the United States or even a two-year community college, of course, it varies depending on which one you're going to. But the private four-year, you're lucky. You're lucky if it's $25,000. More in the neighborhood of maybe $40,000, I've heard. Whew. And this is no frills. I mean, this is without your books, housing, the grants you must have to come up with, the scholarship money, when you do the work study thing, whatever it is, but the tuition costs in the United States for higher education are just crazy. I went back and I was comparing charts from like, you know, the 80s and the 90s compared to now what you pay. And I don't know how it's, for a lot of people, I don't know how they can afford to do it. I really don't. You know, in the future would be interesting is, How many people will get degrees online and what they'll be thought of by getting these degrees online. I think they're going to become the new normal eventually in another 20 years or so. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough Shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic grades for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hey, if you want to chip away at some of the things we've been talking about, have at it. 800-259-5791. We want to do a little sports shorts here because congratulations to Kentucky as Kentucky is the new crown, new national champs. How about that? So Kentucky winning, it seems, with ease over Kansas. And we had no, leading up to this, we had no nail the score winner, but this is a, I mean, this is huge for John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats. And we've got a big affiliate, WVLK, in Lexington, Kentucky. And I'm sure the people in Lexington are just as excited as so many others in the great state of Kentucky for this win. Here's what Calipari had to say afterwards.
This team deserves all the accolades that they've been getting. And what I wanted them to show today is that we were not just a talented team. We were a defensive team, and we were a team that shared the ball. I wanted everybody to see it because, you know, it became, well, they're just more talented than everybody. Well, we were the best team. I told them that, you know, I wanted this to be one for the ages. Go out there and show everyone what kind of team you were. Even though we were young, it doesn't matter how young you are. It's how you play together.
Woohoo! This is why we like college hoop and the tournament, because, yes, this is, you expect that Kentucky always has decent teams, but everybody has a crack at it. It's one and done. So in the end, the score was Kentucky 67, Kansas 59, but the Wildcats, who just raced out to a giant lead, and they held on. This was their eighth title. What I think is interesting is how many people were enthralled with this game. certainly if you're from Kentucky, you love it. If you are listening to me and you're a Kentucky alum, you love it. But what about everybody else? How intriguing was this game? When we go and we look at the ratings, were people glued to this thing? Were they out there in the sports bars? Were they getting together with friends? Or even just hanging at the crib watching this game? Did a lot of people who normally might not even watch college hoop, were they interested enough to stick around and stay in it to the end? It's like the old radio thing, and they have it in television too. Time spent listening, time spent watching. Did people stay for the whole game, the second half, or did they go away immediately when Kentucky jumped out to the big lead? Of course, our Matt Johnson, who is very finicky when it comes to sports of all sorts, I don't think he was one of those, although he was in the studio, that would have stuck around. Matt, I know you love the people that call in all the time from Kentucky, but you said this game wasn't exciting.
It was one of the most boring games I've ever watched.
Call up Kentucky 800-259-5791.
Seriously,
why was it because they were got out to the lead and they just hanging?
I don't know. I was very unexcited by it, I'll tell you that much.
Really? So maybe the reason why is because it wasn't like some of the other matchups where you knew there was a chance. Who knew it was going to happen? So you're at the edge of your seat because, ooh, you know, there's a chance, there's a shot, there's something that could happen here that could catch up. I guess because they dominated, that's the answer. So it does bring up the question, I think America likes an underdog, but when we watch these big games, do we want that? Do we want that last second shot? At least the hope that there might be overtime. Do we need it to be a nail-biter to have it go down as one of the best games of all time? Because if a team races out to a big lead in any sports, I guess, that we watch, whether it's pro baseball or football or, you know, amateur stuff, too, if somebody races out to a big lead, we're just like that. We need that kick. We need that adrenaline rush that maybe our team or the teams we're watching or whatever, we're invested in it because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Like reading a book, like going to the movies, if we don't know what the outcome is going to be. You know, that whole thing about, I don't want to spoil the ending for you, I don't want to tell you what happened, you know, when people say that. Or when you're driving around, you're listening to sports talk radio across the country, just like news talk is so huge. And they start to talk about a game or something that happened, like with the London games, with time differences. Oh, don't pay attention to what we're going to tell you because it's like a spoiler alert. So in this case, is that the idea that there was no, you're not spoiling it for anyone because it was really, the score would have been more of a blowout since they were able to really hang on to this lead from the get-go. They were never threatened. I don't know. I think I'm happy for Calipari. You heard what he had to say, and he tossed around the accolades to everybody. I think it's a huge win for Kentucky, and for them to capture now 8 titles, it shows also the school and what they're able to do, the talent they're able to attract, no matter what decade we're in, that they're going to come back around, they're going to be competitive. Because you have to look at this, they haven't won a basketball title since 1998. So it's been some time, and they got that hot freshman, you know, Anthony Davis, who even in the win, he didn't have a great shooting night, but he certainly was the reason that they got there and got through the tournament. And, I mean, it's wire to wire. They capped off the season. They capped it off, and they walk away. You can't take that away from them. They walk away as the champions. The Jayhawks are a team that all season long, by everything that I could read or see about them, they were the comeback princes. But they weren't able to do that. They kind of trimmed down the deficit a little bit. But, you know, Kentucky was hot on the line and really never looked like they were going to lose it at all. So Matt says the game was boring. It was boring. What do you say, America? Send me your thoughts, because I have a feeling we're getting an avalanche of email on it, America, tonight. americantonight.net, americantonight.net. Just click on the email and then bada bing, you're in. The bad boy file in pro sports would include Ryan Leaf. What has happened to this guy? You know, you talk about falling off the map. How is it that you're blessed with these, like, talents that so many other guys would kill to have? You get a chance, you get a crack at the NFL, and his life just keeps on falling down the rabbit hole. Because he's a former quarterback, right? He was arrested again at the beginning of the week, Monday, after posting bail on charges that he once again broke into a house and stole prescription drugs. He was, and this is in Helena, Montana. He was first arrested Friday because they found a bunch of pills in his golf bag. And then he's picked up on Monday because he breaks into accusations that he broke into a house to grab some more prescription drugs. What is going on with Ryan Leaf? And the amount of pills, these loose pills, hydrocodone pills that he picked up, is like 90 pills or something. They found them in the pocket of a bathrobe that he had. And they don't even think it was the same pills that he took from the other house. Sounds confusing, but he's a guy who had all the talent in the world, but he never used it correctly and just cascaded away from the game. And since then, he was coaching football and trying to make a name for himself. I think that way he was a quarterback's coach for a Division II football team, and this is a couple of years ago, and he was accused of burglarizing a player's house when he was the coach there, taking pain pills from pharmacies and, you know, whatnot. It's called rehab. He needs to go there. Somebody needs to help poor Ryan Leaf find his way out of breaking in and stealing people's pills. He's a pill popper, obviously. He's taking them or selling some of them or whatever he's doing. But how do you have all this talent and then just, you know, what's the expression? You just piss it away. Unbelievable.